But it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Verse 25, And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. We'll stop right there, and we'll go through the rest of this. There's more to read, but I won't keep reading. Let's pray. Lord, ask you to help us understand this. Lord, there's so much in this, but we're specifically focusing on prayer and pretend prayer versus powerful prayer. And God, obviously we want to have powerful prayer with you. Lord, teach us from this, please. Help us learn from men of God that have gone before us, served you and loved you, who you used. God, teach us from their lives, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we saw last week, and mostly what we focused on was Elijah's challenge to God's people, the Israelites, not saved, but nonetheless, they're God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, if we could say it like that. And he came to them, it says verse 21, he meets Ahab, he says, Ahab wants to shift the blame and say, hey, you're the one causing all these problems here in Israel. And it was Elijah that prayed that it wouldn't rain. But at God's command, he does all these things. And the real source of the trouble and the problems, Elijah tells us, is it's the king of Israel, Ahab. He's the source of those problems. He's the leader. And he's forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed Balaam. And then he challenges him. He says, gather everyone together. Get them all together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah shows up and he tells the people, how long halt you between two opinions? You're stuck there. You're riding the fence. How long are you going to sit there? If the Lord's God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him. But quit playing both sides. Okay, let me just say right there, that's where Christianity's at in America today. Playing both sides. I mean, you just talk to people, everyone loves Jesus, everyone's a Christian, till it comes time to obeying the Word of God and following the Word of God. How long halt ye between two opinions? That's where we're at. That's the question before us, even today as well. But Elijah issues a challenge that demonstrated faith. He said, get them together, let's see who the real God is. And I'd say that same challenge to others today. Hey, compare your so-called scriptures with the Word of God and see if there's not a difference. I mean, this book right here that we hold, that we follow, will stand against any scrutiny it has. People have been converted trying to disprove it. Scientists, lawyers, journalists have been converted trying to disprove this. Why? Because it's true. It's true. And fulfilled prophecy is one of the greatest proofs of the inspiration of Scriptures. But he demonstrated faith as he issued that challenge to them. But get this, this is something I've always found it interesting. I personally love the Bible. I think you do too. But I love the Bible because the Bible is black and white. It's cut and dry. It's just, thus saith the Lord, and that's how it is. Whether I agree with it or not, I might not like it, I might not line up with it, but man, this book is black and white. It's yes or no. There's no wishy-washy in this book. And as you read through it, and you look at so many different men of God, you could go back to Enoch, Noah, Moses, Samuel, Elijah. List any of the prophets as we go through. You name them, any of them. John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles, Paul. All these men stood up and preached God's word with authority. Thus saith the Lord, and they just said it how it was. The Bible talked about there'd be a famine in the land, a famine of the Word of God. I think we're experiencing a famine of the Word of God. It's political season right now, right? It's all out there all the time. Political season. You've got many of the politicians are saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again believer." But they won't stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." They won't take a strong stand on a lot of things. Some things they do, but not on a lot of things. You've got just this last week, two professing Baptists, Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee, were praising the Pope. He's a good man, he's a good Christian. You can look up the news reports if you want and get the exact quotes, but they're praising the Pope. They both claim to believe the Bible, to stand on the Bible. You can't believe the Bible and think the Pope's a good Christian. I'm sorry, you can't. I grew up Catholic. I know what they teach. I know what they believe, and I know where they're sending people. And their doctrine sends people to hell. What they teach sends people to hell. It's a false gospel. It's another gospel. And you've got men that won't stand up and just say that. But what we see right here with Elijah, he goes farther than just saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I've always liked this part of this story. The man of God mocks the false and pretend prophets. He's making fun of them. And I'm telling you, men like this, men like Elijah, men like John the Baptist, men like Jesus, wouldn't be welcomed in most pulpits in America today. I think they would tell Jesus if he came back. They say, "You're not acting like Jesus." If he came back today and they heard him preach, they'd say, "You're not acting like Jesus. You need to be more loving." And what they mean by that is accepting of everything. But that's not how the Bible is. This man mocks them. Verse 25, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves. Dress it. You're many. Call on the name of your gods. Put no fire under it." And they took and they start calling out. In verse 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Hey, cry aloud, hey, little liar." He's mocking them. The man of God is mocking this false religion. And today people would jump all over you and say, "You're hateful, you're mean, what's wrong with you? How can you be like that? You can't say that they're wrong." Well, if they're wrong, they're wrong. And if I go around telling everyone 2 plus 2 is 5, and somebody tells me I'm wrong, does that mean they're hateful? No, it just means they're telling me the truth, whether I accept it or not. It's not unloving, it's not hateful. That's what's going on here. The man of God mocks the false and pretend prophets. We're looking at this, a mark of pretend prayer is its use of vain repetition. So we're contrasting pretend prayer and powerful prayer. A mark of pretend prayer is its use of vain repetition. Verse 26 says, "And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us." Now, typically when the Bible talks about mourning, like the morning watch and things like that, the morning watch started at 6 a.m. till noon. That's 6 hours. Okay, even if we want to go from, break the day up in more, go from 6 to 9, okay, let's say it's from 9 to noon, that's still 3 hours. 3 solid hours. They're calling on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any answer, nor any that answered. So a mark of pretend prayer is its use of vain repetition. How much religions teach that? In the Catholic Church, they have their rosary beads, but not just the Catholics, the Hindus have rosary beads as well. This contemplative prayer, this mysticism that's out there that's infiltrating churches, are encouraging the use of prayer beads, of rosaries. Why? To say the same prayer over and over so you can count them off. You just roll them through your hand, you count them off till you get all the way around. Vain repetition. Jesus warned about that in Matthew 6, 7, I believe it is. Use not vain repetition as the heathen do. Who does that? Who are they modeling after? The heathen. The heathen. That's what's going on right here. They're following after Baal, the heathen, the lost. People that don't know God. And that's why Elijah comes to them in verse 21. He said, "How long halt you between two opinions? Why are you standing on both sides? Why are you mixing this religion? This heathen religion with the truth." That's what was going on. Make no buts about it. That's what was going on. They were mixing false religion with truth. And it's rampant today. That's exactly what goes on today. Jesus warned us, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. And what have people done? They brought it into Christianity. They're mixing them. They're mixing them. And Elijah goes and he mocks their foolishness. He mocked them. He's making fun of them. "Cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." So maybe cry louder. Wake him up. Where's your God? It's kind of like this. It's like, "Oh God, wake up!" This is about as much as what they're praying to. "Hear our prayers, send fire down." That's what they're doing from morning until noon. This isn't going to do anything. It'll do nothing. Pretend prayer uses vain repetition. A deaf and dumb idol can't hear. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12, 2, talking to the Corinthians who were heathens, they were pagans. "Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols." What does it mean? They're dumb, they can't speak. They can't talk. They're not the living God. I mean, pretend there's a little carved image of something. I mean, how ridiculous is it to pray to that? How ridiculous is that? That's ridiculous. We think this stuff hasn't like infiltrated us. "Oh, I got my lucky rabbit's foot. Let me read my horoscope so it could tell me what's going to happen for today." People believe this stuff. I mean, they believe it. I mean, you might have had someone read your horoscope to you when you were a kid or something, or a teenager, and you're just like, "Oh, you know, it's not a big deal." "Oh, well, it's just indoctrinating you into Satanism, witchcraft. That's all. It's just bringing down your senses." But, I mean, you might have just laughed it off and not really paid any attention to it. But there are people that are like deep into that stuff, and they listen to it, and they follow it. And then they're going to bow down to some little wooden statue that was carved out. I mean, someone had to have to fashion this and make this. It didn't just appear. I mean, this is how ridiculous people are. "Well, I pray to that little statue," and people do that stuff. I'm serious. They do it. I mean, look, it gives light. The power, you see? I mean, I'm being silly, but That's how people think. People follow stuff like that, nonsense like that. Reading tarot cards. You know, oh, pray to Saint so-and-so, I lost something, so I pray to Saint, you know, hippity-skippity, and he helps me find it. I don't know all the saints' names. They got saints' names for everything. The patron saint of protection, the patron saint of losing things. I don't know. They've got all these different saints out there, these false gods. Hey, deaf and dumb idol that can't hear anything. Pretend prayer. Pretend prayer. Vain repetition. Praying to a dumb idol. In Manners and Customs of the Bible, says this, Faber maintains the identity of Baal with the Hindu deity Jagannath. Now, Balaam was a multiplicity of gods. The word Baal means Lord, and there's different names of Baal. I can remember one, Bereth, and there's other types of Baal. Beelzebub. I mean, you hear they called Jesus that in the New Testament. Oh, he's praying to Beelzebub, and he gets his power from Beelzebub. It's the Lord of the Flies is what it means. So there's, when you hear Baal, it means a multiplicity of gods. And that's why Elijah said, where was it here? Verse 25, for ye are many and call upon the name of your gods, but put no fire under gods. It's a multiplicity of gods. So Faber maintains the identity of Baal with the Hindu deity Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, who is represented as sometimes wrapped in profound meditation, sometimes sleeping, and sometimes taking long journeys. He says, Elijah is not simply ridiculing the worship of the idolatrous priests. He is not taunting them as it were at random, but he is ridiculing their own senseless adoration upon their own acknowledged principles. This is what they believe their God does, and he's just mocking them. He's making fun of them. He's saying, how ridiculous is this? And I could hear professing Christians today telling Elijah, you're not loving, you're not kind. Jesus wouldn't do it like that. Yet it's prophesied that Elijah must come back before Jesus would come. Let me get that for you right here. Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he's going to come. Elijah's got to come. And a lot of people thought John the Baptist was Elijah. They even asked him, he's, oh, I'm not him. And Jesus said, yeah, he was. He didn't even know it. Oh, well. So they're praying to this God that doesn't hear them. You know, people today, you know, what they're doing there, this just crying to their false God from morning until noon. People today pray to Mother Earth. I've mentioned to you guys before the man I worked with, that he was an Indian. We're up in Dulce, Aztecs. Or was it the Apache. Apache is what it was, not the Aztecs. Both started with an A. But it was the Apache. And he said, oh, I pray. I said, well, who do you pray to? He said, well, I pray to the sun and the moon. What? He was dead serious. He was dead serious. Dead serious. Oh God, help my family. Shine light on us. No. That's the ridiculousness of it. But he believed it. He believed it. There's people out there that believe that stuff. Pray to Mother Earth. What happens? Pretend prayers turn to self-mutilation and desperation. Look at verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. They cut themselves. It says, after their manner. This is something they regularly did. Why? It's a blood sacrifice, an offering. An offering to their God. These are the same people that are sacrificing their children to their God. They cut themselves till the blood gushed out upon them. There's people still today that do this. You look in some of the South American countries, that are dominated by the Catholic Church. You just look it up around right when Easter time pops up, and they're out there crucifying themselves. They're out there whipping their backs. They're out there crawling on their knees till their knees are just shredded and bleeding and blood gushing out. They're still doing this stuff. You've seen the pictures in National Geographic. You've got the heathen over there. And what are they doing? They've got piercings all through their body everywhere. And they've got it going through their necks. They've got it, big old spikes going through their necks and all over their face. They've got these piercings everywhere. What are they doing? They're cutting themselves as their manner was. Who does it? The heathen? The heathen do it? Self-mutilation. God's command is for us to do no such thing. Leviticus 19:28, He says to His people, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. I'm Jehovah." Hey, what's He saying? Don't be like the heathen. Don't act like the heathen. I don't want you that way. What have we got today? What's our society today? We've got tattoos, body piercings, gauges. It's all associated with heathen worship. None of it is associated with the worship of God. You've got Christians that are trying to argue, so-called Christians that are trying to argue, is it okay for Christians to have tattoos? No. I'll just say it plain. No. It's not. It's not from the Bible. It's not biblical. It's not God telling His people to do it. It's taken from the heathen. That's where it all comes from. We're not going forward. We're not progressing. We're going backwards. We're going back to the jungle. That's what's happening with society today. I mean, you've seen people, they got their whole face, their whole head tattooed all over their neck. Their whole bodies are tattooed everywhere. They got piercings, I mean, gauges like this big. And their ears will never go back to normal again, never. They look like freaks. How could you say something so unloving? How could they do that? I mean, don't expect to... That's not normal, okay? Something that's not normal, what is it? If it's abnormal, that's freakish. And they're doing it on purpose. They're mutilating their bodies on purpose. Why? To worship their God. So most of them would say, "I'm not doing it to worship any God." No, you're worshiping yourself. You're doing what you want for yourself. That's idolatry. Don't matter. That's what heathenism is. Paganism is. It's the exaltation of self. What I want. Not what God, the one true God, wants. But all these things, tattoos, the body piercings, the gauges, it's all associated with heathen worship. There's nothing godly about it. We next see the powerful prayer from the prophet. In verse 29 says that they did this until the time of the evening sacrifice. It came to pass when midday was past, so noon, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. You know what that means? So they're praying, we could say from 6 in the morning, maybe not, maybe 9 or whatever, but we're just going to say from 6 in the morning, midday, they're still doing it. Elijah mocks them at midday. I mean, think about this. He's there for 6 hours watching them. I imagine he was probably kind of just like this for a lot of the day. I mean, wouldn't you think he's just like looking at them kind of just saddened. You know, just how heartbreaking. You're God's people. God brought you out of Egypt by a mighty hand. You know, the 10 plagues miraculously brought you out of Pharaoh's grip. Parted the Red Sea, brought you across, Battle of Jericho. I mean, all of the miraculous things He's done, all of it. I mean, go through the time of the judges, every miraculous thing that happened there. King David slaying Goliath. He's thinking all these things, and he's probably just sitting there just watching them, heartbroken at the same time, enraged at the same time that they could fall for this foolishness, watching what's going on. 6 a.m., midday. Okay, who knows what time the evening sacrifice was at? 6 p.m. 12 hours of a heathen ceremony, of a heathen prayer meeting. That's what it was, 12 hours of it. He's watching this nonsense go on. And what does it say there, verse 29? This is after 12 hours of this. Until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. No answer. All that, no avail. No answer whatsoever. But then the prophet prays. Elijah said unto all the people, verse 30, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he does that another 2 times. It's completely soaked. What does he do? Let me just say this powerful prayer worships and honors God. That's what powerful prayer will do. It'll worship and honor God. That's exactly what he does. He starts off by he builds what's been destroyed or neglected. He builds what's been destroyed and neglected. Verse 30. It says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It's been destroyed. It's been neglected. And he builds it. Powerful prayer worships and honors God. Powerful prayer will go back to the Word of God and build what God says is important. If we've gotten away from that, even in our own personal lives, we talk about an altar right here. We have our invitation and we have this altar where we come and pray, or we should come and pray. We have this altar here. Are we neglecting that? Do we come where God wants us to? And not just right here, but I say even at home. Do we have a family altar? Do we have a personal altar, a private altar for ourselves? Where we go on prayer, is it neglected? Does it need to be rebuilt? We can do pretend prayer, or we can do powerful prayer. Powerful prayer worships and honors God and what's important to Him. A.W. Tozer said this. He's a preacher. He said, modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it, but it will never work. The church's power over the world springs out of her unlikeness to it, never from her integration into it. Let me read it again. Modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it, but it will never work. The church's power over the world springs out of her unlikeness to it, never from her integration into it. I'm going to illustrate it for us. Her unlikeness to it. This stands out, doesn't it? It's like a beacon. It shows you something. I could shine in all your faces. I won't, because I don't want to blind anyone. But we can see. It puts light. Isaiah, will you go shut those doors over there for me, please? It's a marked difference. Let me read the rest of the quote. Modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it, but it will never work. The church's power over the world springs out of her unlikeness to it. Okay, this is unlikeness. It's darkness in here right now. This is unlikeness. Never from her integration into it. Where's the power now? Where's the power now? You can't see it. What gave the light has integrated into the darkness. But there's the power. There's the power. And what modern Christianity wants to do is this. Integrate into it. Bring the world in. Churches have neglected separation from the world and modeled themselves after what God abhors. But God says, build what's been neglected. If you want powerful prayer, build that altar. Separate from what the heathens were doing. What's happening today with modern Christianity, and if you were here Sunday night, Brother Hernandez preached on this. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Don't compromise. Don't do these things that are pulling our churches away from biblical truth. Keep the faith. But what's going on today in Christianity would be like Elijah copying the Baal worshippers as he sought God to answer by fire. How well do you think that would have worked for him if he started doing the same things they did? He said, hey, let me build this altar here now. And now I'm going to start cutting myself. And I'm going to start jumping up and down and running all over the place and yelling and screaming and speaking in tongues and throwing all these things out there. I'm going to start doing that stuff now. Think God would have answered by fire if he copied what they were doing? Who thinks that? Anyone think God would have answered by fire had Elijah done that? No, I don't either. I don't think he would have either. But that's what modern Christianity wants to do today. Let's do it just like the world. Let's bring all the world in here. It just drives me crazy. Powerful prayer will separate itself and be distinct from pretend prayer. It doesn't have to be that it's some weird, strange thing. It's simple. Prayer is simple. But it's not going to model itself after the world, after heathen religion. It won't do that. And that's what is being pushed that we have to do. Now, of course, they're never going to say, hey, be like the world. But just open your eyes and look, and it's obvious that what's going on in modern Christianity is modeling itself after the world. They just follow lockstep, just going right with it. They look like the world, they dress like the world, they act like the world, they think like the world. They're entertained by the same things the world's entertained by. And how are they not going to think like that? It's heathen worship. And we accept it in our lives. Elijah, in his powerful prayer, he goes on to make the situation impossible. I mean, he says, hey, add all this water, just fill it up three times, fill it up. But you know what? He expected God to answer. He expected God to answer. I mean, he's saying, hey, fill it up once. No, do it a second time, do it a third time. And it says in verse 35, the water ran round about the altar and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. God's leading him in this. He said, I've done all these things at thy word. You know what that tells me? God was behind what he was doing. God was behind him mocking the prophets of Baal. Said it in here, not me. This book said it. God was for that. He expected God to answer. James 5:15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Do we expect God to answer our prayers? It comes down to faith. You know what Elijah wanted in his powerful prayer? He wanted God to be glorified and made known. It says in verse 36, I read it, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. What did he challenge them with in verse 21? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. What did he do? He wanted God to be known. Thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. He wanted God known. You know, he was only a servant. Boy, if we could get back to that, that'd be real good. God, how can I serve you? You want powerful prayer? Just be a servant. Just do what God wants you to do. Mark 9:35, it says this, he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You want to do something big for God? Go clean the toilets. Vacuum the church building. Pull weeds. The stuff no one even thinks about, no one cares about, nobody wants to do. You want to be something big for God? The same shall be last of all and servant of all. Be a servant. If you want to be on Mount Carmel being used of God, then be a servant at Zarephath for 3 years first, which is where Elijah was. He got sent to Zarephath. Feed a widow woman and her son. And he went at God's word. He said, I've done all this at thy word, Lord. You know what he wanted? He wanted the conversion of the lost, not for himself to look good, but for God's glory. Verse 37, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. I want my lost family saved. And I bet you do too. Powerful prayer won't be about you. It'll be about God getting glorified and the conversion of the lost. How much did you pray going into our open house for the lost souls we're seeking to reach? Powerful prayer. We'll be concerned with that. You say, oh, I didn't do too good for our open house. Hey, I got good news. You can keep praying for those lost people. Amen. You can keep praying for those lost people. Amen. See, it's a heart issue. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. Joel 2:12 says this, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. It's a heart issue. He wanted their conversion, not for himself to look good, but for God's glory. An answered prayer, his prayer being answered, caused their recognition of God. When your prayers are answered, that you just by faith go out there and ask God for, that will cause the lost to recognize God. Verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Get this, verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, get that, that's Jehovah. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And that's what Elijah challenged them with. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord Jehovah be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. Quit mixing them. That's false religion. I think much of the preaching that's needed to be done is in churches as they're mixing them, and there's no salvation even in it because they've mixed this heathenism with some truth. Answered prayer caused their recognition of God. Many of us, most of the people we know probably are in some form of Christendom, some form of apostate Christianity. And I want them saved. But are we not pretend prayer or powerful prayer? This is a solemn warning here at the end of this. You look in verse 40. There is a judgment on those who turn people away from God. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and, And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. That's 450. I tend to think probably it was all 850, as it said there. Prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. I imagine it was all 850. But he says, let not one of them escape, and they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Elijah did that. The preacher. I don't know how he slew him. He must have had a sword. The preacher. Man, people would throw a fit if some preacher today lined up 850 false prophets, pulled out his gun, just said, one after the other, pow, 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 along the river. Line them up on the Rio Grande. Okay, now you all know what I believe about individual soul liberty, liberty of conscience. Okay, we're not in a theocracy like the Jews were with God as the king. God running the show. And God's allowed us to make our own choices. Even He's allowed them to make their own choices. It's not up to us to go on some crusade and kill unbelievers. No, we leave them to the judgment of God. And God's allowed them that, and that's what we do. But I'm just saying, that's what happened right there. The preacher lined them up and slew them. There's a judgment for those leading people away from God. And I can't prove this biblically, but just based on what I've seen throughout the Bible and how it's worked, is I imagine many of them were priests within the Levitical order who were supposed to be priests for Jehovah God, who were also these priests of Baal. What'd they do? They mixed the truth with error. And God wants none of that. None of that. But Elijah was a man, the Bible says in James, of like passions as we are. Every fear you've had, every failure you've had, every whatever it may be that you've had, Elijah felt it. He was just a man. He was a sinner like you and me. But he had powerful prayer. He was a servant. He distinguished between the world and godly righteousness. He separated them like light from darkness. And again, I left us with this last week. I'm going to leave us with it again. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. What do you need to fix in your life? To have powerful prayer.